much. That was beautiful. Thank you. One of the things that I wanted to mention before I begin today, last week I mentioned that Dan Lama, who attended here, his body was found about 2 weeks ago. And I've been in touch with the detective that is handling his case. And I've made it clear that it is our desire as a church for him not to be homeless in death, as he was in life. So I will keep you advised as things as they move forward. She has yet to be able to reach his next of kin, which are two daughters who live in Kathmandu in Nepal. So please hold that in your thoughts and prayers. Will you join me now in prayer? Loving spirit of wonder and surprise, journey and discovery, Holy One, you who are called by a thousand names, may all dance together remembering that we are all a part of you, born by your care and your love. Help us to be fresh and flexible and open. Open to receiving all the many wonders and gifts and the things that we may only partly perceive and yet receive in mystery. Grant us an awareness of your presence here with us, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Happy Pride. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Pride began as a way to celebrate the spontaneous demonstrations that swirled up, blowing in the wind, at the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village in New York City in the early morning hours of June 28, 1969. That's when a very mixed and diverse group of gender transgressors, drag queens, lesbians, gay men, bisexuals stood up against a police raid and said in so many various and very colorful ways, no, no more, enough. It began with a small moment and bloomed into a movement, one that we still celebrate today. As one of my colleagues was so good to point out, our pride and our pride celebrations today exist because a black bisexual trans woman who was a sex worker threw a brick into a world of oppression and injustice. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That was 50 years ago this month, and today we are still working to find and claim our place in this world, claiming our authentic selves and taking pride in the things about ourselves that the society in which we live would prefer at best to ignore and at worst to marginalize and discriminate and eliminate. It is in that spirit of reclamation and pride that we begin our first summer sermon series of 2019, Bible Pride, Biblically Queer. Not just queer, but biblically queer. Just as our communities have reclaimed the word queer, which was a word, an epithet, a verbal weapon that has been used against us, so I want to encourage us to reclaim and take pride in that which has all too often been used as a weapon against us as well. The Bible. The moment we allow our fear and our distaste of the Bible to place it out of our reach is the moment that we lose a part of the beautiful stories of humanity and our ability to find ourselves within them. Wisdom is the difference between what we have been taught and what we learn. And I want to encourage us to look at all things in new ways, and in doing so, help to change our perspective and to broaden our vision. The big G, people experience it differently. Gender, that is. And in many ways, our communities are on the growing edge of our society's understanding of gender, specifically the trans and gender non-binary communities. We are doing to gender what the gay, lesbian, and bisexual communities have been doing to sexuality, expanding it, opening it, breaking it, and reforming it. Being misgendered is when one is called the wrong gender. It can be an accident, a slip of the tongue, an honest mistake, a product of habit, or it can be a product of ignorance or a tool of aggression and oppression. One of my AFAB trans friends, AFAB, assigned female at birth, described the painful experience of being misgendered very well. He said, "It is like not being seen. Not being seen for who you are." And when I transitioned over 25 years ago, I recall that feeling of not being seen. Not being seen for who I was. It's the same for individuals who identify as gender non-binary. Those who identify with neither he nor she pronouns. And perhaps even more so for them because they are not seen in their totality. They are being seen only as another perceives them to be within the context of their own experience. Seen as the person wants to see them, not being seen as they are. They see the other person in their own image of self. To see the person authentically and more completely will require learning and growth and change. Now, I'm so grateful that there's space within our community to simply be or to explore and reflect on gender in all its many faces and forms, not just in the binary of either or, but a constellation of genders like stars spread out over a night sky. An expanse of gender so broad and limitless that it may be frightening to some, unsettling, scary, especially for those whose very foundation is built upon only he and only she. A choice of one or the other. Such a small space that is for some to occupy. Move over. Make room for us. And here's the thing, there are those who will not believe gender variance even exists unless they have experienced it for themselves. Just like there are those in our own gay and lesbian communities who do not believe that bisexuality exists, who cannot accept bisexuality because it doesn't fit within the context of their own experience. Do you know people like that?
Amen.
I do. Their views are just as binary as anyone else. You are either gay or you're straight. Such a small space that is for some to occupy. Move over. Make room for us. And so there are people in the trans communities who do not believe that genderqueer or gender non-binary people actually exist. Again, move over. Make room for us. Because coming to believe in the experiences of others that we ourselves have not shared is an essential element of existing together in community. I'm going to repeat that again because it's just that important. Coming to believe in the experiences of others that we ourselves have not shared is an essential element of existing together in community. Sometimes I think that's why we even form community and also why diverse communities can be so challenging because they have so much to teach us, so many ways to open us up to worlds beyond ourselves, so many ways to challenge us and our own belief systems in ways that can be very exciting for some and very frightening for others. Learning to see the world through another's eyes requires exercising our empathy and our sense of compassion. People experience the other big G differently too. God, that is. How many of us were raised to believe or assume or think by repetitive use of male pronouns that God is male? Hey, I was. Looks like it's pretty much all of us. It was something that was drilled into us, something that all too many of us simply accepted as being so. Even if not consciously, it became a part of us. The subtle making of God into the image of man. Such a small space that is for one to occupy. Do you remember back in the day when they said that the word men includes everyone? I can tell the ones of my vintage did. That he was the default pronoun for humanity. That man or men was always the suffix added to positions and occupations. Policeman, mailman, men at work. Rise up, you men of God. Good Christian men, rejoice. We hold this truth to be self-evident. All men are created equal.
But that's true.
Amen.
It's incomplete.
All men are created equal. Well, we mean women too when we say men. We don't need to add the word women because you're included too when we say men. We mean you too. What? For reals? Say that again and see how it sounds. Women were not included when that line was written. For goodness sake, when did women even get the right to vote in this country? That's not a rhetorical question.
1920,
absolutely. 1920, not even quite 100 years ago.
Long before we got bank accounts in our own name.
Indeed.
And birth control.
Indeed. Were women included in society, in culture, or in language? No, we were not. And that is why we use inclusive language now. It is socially, culturally, and theologically correct. There are often two groups in this world, those who constantly exclude people and those who constantly include people. When the Bible is used as a weapon, it becomes a book of exclusion. But for me, forever and always, it is a book of inclusion. You see, like a hammer can be used to build or destroy, it matters less about the instrument than about the hand that wields it. Remember that. And the Bible in the hand of a proud queer person, of the proud GLBTIQQ communities, can be a frightening thing indeed for those who persist in clinging to the way that they've always seen the word in the world. Yes, of course. Women are always included when we say men. Poppycock. How did we wind up with such a male image of God? Well, there's a whole host of reasons, really. How were women viewed back then? Men were viewed as human. Women were viewed as property. As I mentioned last week, there's even a Jewish prayer and blessing. Blessed are you, O God, who has not made me a Gentile, a slave, a fool, or a woman.
Can you read that again?
Yes. Blessed are you, O God, who has not made me a Gentile, a slave, a fool, or a woman. Google it.
Whose prayer was that?
That's a Jewish prayer. Thanks for not making me a woman. That's what a place to start from. So if women still struggle today, imagine the struggle back then. The Bible has a big gender problem. Absolutists and fundamentalists, on the other hand, would argue that it is society that has the problem and has run amok. But I believe the gender problem originates in the context in which the Bible was written thousands of years ago, halfway across the world. In a completely different language, in a completely different culture, for a completely different people. Should we use such a thing as an immediate guide for our modern society? Are you kidding me? We learn from stories. We learn from all kinds of stories, great writings, scriptures, nursery rhymes, and we gather from them what we are able to gather that will help us on our journey today. But we do not imitate their practices all the way. Any of them, we learn from them. So, the Bible is skewed male, written by males, we believe, largely about males, and up until very recently, historically speaking, administered only by males. And with a deity that is referenced overwhelmingly with male pronouns and almost continuously referred to as male with masculine terms, that anything at all feminine slips out around the edges is a miracle. And yet, it does. And in that, I experienced the movement of the Spirit ever more powerful than the society and the culture from which it emerged. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack and tear them asunder. Hosea 13:8. And you thought the term mama bear for a fierce parent guarding the authenticity and life of their gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex, queer, and questioning child was a new invention. No, it's scriptural. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often has I desired to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you are not willing. Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:34 in two places, very important. Finally, Yahweh says, I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now, like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and I will pant. Isaiah 42:14. Our deity has a woman giving birth. When I was speaking at Wesley Theological Seminary on the topic of gender, yes, I believe in getting ministry students before they actually begin their career. Catch them before they get changed in the world. And I opened up the floor for dialogue, which I love to do. One student raised her hand and began with, I know God doesn't make mistakes. Now, part of the joy of dialogue is the revelation of surprise. And so a part of me is immediately thinking, I know how this usually ends, and it is not good. But instead, she continued. So if God doesn't make mistakes, why do you think God made transgender people? And I said, oh, that's easy, to provide a clearer image of God, to provide a clearer image of divinity. Here is the miracle of the Bible. It's right there in the beginning. God said, let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness. God created human in God's image, the image of God. Male and female, God created them. OMG, my God is genderqueer. Gender non-binary, totally trans. My God is neither male nor female, similar to both, but unlike either. For goodness sake, my God is they, them. And in fact, God later self-identifies simply as I am. I am. I am that I am, which I think is the best identity for any and all human beings. I am that I am. God is beyond gender. However, keeping God male and masculine does serve what is known as the patriarchy. And it makes women the other. It makes the feminine the other, the ultimate other, even different from God. And fuels misogyny. What is misogyny? Dislike of, contempt for, or ingrained prejudice against women, against the feminine. Misogyny is the enemy of all of us, and the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer, and questioning communities, gay men and lesbians included. Much of homophobia is rooted in misogyny, the subordination of women, and until all are equal, none are equal. Keeping our view of God as male, solely masculine, is not only theologically incorrect, but it serves the patriarchy of our society. Feminist theologian Mary Daly has said, if God is male, then male is God. If God is masculine, then masculine is God. Those who have never had to question their own gender, those who have never had to take issue gender-wise with what their parents told them, what society told them, what the first thing a doctor pronounced about them when they entered this world. Those who never had to question what their body said about who they are. Those are those who have had to rise up against all of those things in order to find and live their authentic self, to have life and live it more abundantly. Try to see the world through trans and gender non-binary eyes. I want to begin to close with a few words from Reverend Asher O'Callaghan. He, him, the first known trans man to be ordained in the ECLA Lutheran Church in 2015. Quote, "In the beginning, God created day and night. But have you ever seen a sunset? Well, trans and non-binary people are kind of like that. Gorgeous. Full of 100 shades of color. Color that you can't see in plain daylight or during the night. In the beginning, God created land and sea. But have you ever seen a beach? Well, trans and non-binary people are kind of like that. Beautiful. A balanced oasis that's not quite like the ocean, nor quite like the land." I want to close with a little story. I wasn't going to tell it originally, but I think I'm going to do it just because I want to hear it again myself. So, if y'all will humor me. Someone asked a wise teacher in India to describe God. The teacher assembled three people together who were sightless from birth, who did not have vision from birth, and asked each to describe an elephant. One person was placed up front, one in the middle, and one in the rear. The first one reached out and said, "The elephant is long and thin, like a serpent, and moist at the end, leading up to large, thin flaps that wave about and fan the air, and a mouth. The elephant is a mouth." The one in the middle went forward with outstretched hands and said, "An elephant is big, wonderfully textured, without mark, without form or shape, big, very big. It goes on and on. It goes far beyond my reach and up to the very heavens." And then the one in the rear stepped forward and embraced the elephant and said, "An elephant is very, very big. And it smells very, very bad." Understanding divinity through the perceptions of others can be like that, often without any specific agreement or consensus, but all of the experiences are all real and valid for the individual. And when they all come together, we come to have a better picture, a better understanding of what we are experiencing through sharing with one another. My dear siblings, in the beginning, the Creator made us in the Creator's image. She, her, he, him, they, there. And all of the many combinations, variations, and varieties therein and in between. And God said, "It is good. It is indeed very good. So may it be, and so it is."